how to name your baby. How many here have ever had children? Let's see your hands. How many think you might have children or grandchildren in the future sometime? All right. How many of you think you might know somebody that might have children in the future? Good. We'll get everybody here one way or the other. All right. You're going to need the message. Listen very carefully. Take a few notes. I think you'll find it interesting. Judges chapter 13, verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. And now notice the preparation that God is giving to the birth of the son. The angel is giving specific instructions. And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now by now, you've discovered that we're talking about the man by the name of Samson. That's right. Look down to verse 24. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. It means, the name Samson means serving like the sun, or faithfulness, or the one who is faithful. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament. Just a brief portion of Scripture about the birth of our Lord. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, that is Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, say it with me, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Read verse 21 out loud with me, please. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Dear Lord, we might say that this is such an incidental thing, but we've studied long enough about this to discover, we believe, that it is not really incidental whatsoever. Lord, the name that we give our children is a name that they will bear for all of their lives, from the time they're a baby until the time that they grow old and perhaps go into eternity. And then they'll be remembered by that name. We believe it is important. Help us to understand what you have to say to us, and help me to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Bible is such a wonderful book. It is a book of history. It covers the entire span of human history, from creation and the fall to the final redemption of all creation, from the curse and the new heaven and the new earth. From all of this, it's all here. It is a book of theology. It is a book of doctrine. Every great doctrine of our faith comes from this book. If there's anything anybody makes up, then it's not good doctrine. Must come out of this book. It is also a book of philosophy. What do I mean by that? Well, philosophy is simply the love of wisdom. It tells you how to think rightly about different things. And we all have philosophies in so many every area of our life. But I want to pass on beyond those things and say to you tonight that the Bible is also a book of names. In fact, a great deal of emphasis is placed on the names of people in the Bible. I thought back to the time that my wife and I had our four girls and how we named our four children. I'll tell you how basically we did it. Basically, we thought first, we got a list of names and we went down through that name, and I'd say, honey, what do you think about this? And she said, no, I don't like the sound of that. And I said, well, what about this? She said, well, that's a little bit better. And then she'd say, honey, what do you think about this? And I'd say, well, that's all right, but I don't know. And she said, what do you think about this? How many of y'all, that's about the way you named your babies? Let's see your hand. That's what I thought. That's what most people do. Of course, we went further. We checked the meaning of their names. But the truth is, we didn't really know how to name our babies. I want to say to you, first of all tonight, understand why we name people. Understand why we name people. Has it ever occurred to you the reason why we give people names? Now, the typical thought, first thought is, well, we'll distinguish them from everybody else. Well, if that's all we're going to do, why don't we just give them a number? Why don't you be 773 and he can be 956 and he can be 10,433 and whatever. Why don't we? Well, you say, but Brother Davis, that, no, I'm serious. Why don't we do something else? There is a biblical reason. The reason people are given names is because God did that in the creation. When God named Adam, He named him Adam. And then Eve was named. And so we had, that's where the whole business of naming comes from. In fact, almost every great truth you can ever discover or ever imagine is found in some type of form in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. And that is the reason Satan is continually attacking those three chapters as much as any other chapters that you can find in the whole Bible. Now, the first one in the Bible to be named was Adam. He didn't name himself. He was named by God. Why? Because it showed God's ownership and authority over him. You search through the Bible, you'll find out, as far as I can tell, God Himself is the only one who named Himself. And He didn't give Himself a name. I'll get to that in a minute. After God made Adam, named Adam, then He gave Adam dominion over all the animals. And the first thing Adam did was name all the animals. There are some people who, they refer to primitive man, and he was sort of half ape and half man. I want to tell you something. The first man ever walked on the face of this earth was a brilliant man. In fact, I would say that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, my opinion is that the first man was the most brilliant man to ever walk on the face of this earth. He was able to immediately name all of these creatures that God sent his way. Now, what's the first thing you do when you get a cat or a dog? And have you noticed how children like to be able to pick the name and tell the dog what its name is? They love to be able to pick the cat and say, "Now, kitty, your name is whatever the cat's name is." The name of my cat at home is Rose. Now, where we got that name, I have no idea. But somebody one time said to the cat, "Rose." We had a male husky puppy born, and they liked the name Prince, so we called him Prince. Now, what is going on here? What is the first thing that parents do for a child after they are born? In fact, in our day, with all the sonograms and everything, folks come in and they'll say, "Well, I'm having a boy," and so they've already got the name picked out. I love it when the Lord confuses people. I love it when they just know they're going to have a boy or a girl, and lo and behold, it comes, and they're all flustered because it's like God says, "You thought she's going to fool me, didn't you? Well, I'm still in control." But what is the first thing that parents do for a child? They name the child. Why? It shows the ownership and the authority over the child. I gave that statement on Sunday night when I preached that message about obedience of that official in the state of Texas who said that the parents, that the state of Texas was the one who gave a marriage license to the parents, and therefore when they had children, the children did not belong to the parents, the children belonged to the state. That's a bunch of malarkey. The state has no right and no power and no authority whatsoever in relation to naming a child. And the one who names the child, by so doing, is showing their ownership of and authority over the child. You might also notice here why many wives don't want to take their husband's name at marriage in our day. It's because they don't want to admit that he is the one in authority over them. He is their head. Now, Names are tremendously important. Here's why we name people, because it shows the ownership of and the authority. Second, understand the power, incredible power of the right name or the wrong name. The incredible power of the right name or the wrong name. For instance, think about Josiah in the Old Testament. He was given a good start just by the name he was given. And if you study that passage, there is a contrast that takes place in the passage in the Old Testament that you wouldn't notice unless you dig in to the names. Josiah's father and grandfather were named Amon, A-M-O-N, and Manasseh. Both of those names seem to derive from heathen sources. Incidentally, you would be amazed, as I've studied names over the past several months more than I ever had before. I don't know how I got into that, but I believe the Lord led me into it. And I am amazed at how many names that are used in our day have their derivation in heathen sources. And people don't even realize it. They don't know anything about it. I just frankly don't even say anything about it unless somebody asks me. I found out it's better to just go on by that. But Josiah was a royal name associated with Jehovah. The J-O at the first of that. In fact, almost any time that you see J-O at the first of any name, it is an abbreviation for Jehovah. And the J-O, and then the rest of the name, Josiah's name meant Jehovah heals, or Jehovah sustains. Now, if you're familiar with the life of Josiah, you cannot help but wonder if it was not his name. Jehovah is the one who sustains you. Every time, look at me, every time they called him, you think they said Josiah, and that name may not mean anything to you. I want to tell you something. When they called that, they were giving a Hebrew word, and they spoke the Hebrew language. They were saying, the one who Jehovah sustains, come here. Every time they called his name, that's what they're saying. The one who Jehovah sustains, you come here. The one who Jehovah sustains, you come here. Every time they called Josiah, Josiah, those people automatically thought that because that was their language. Joel. J-O-E-L. J-O, in almost any word or any name, J-O is Jehovah. E-L, anytime you see that, it is the abbreviation for God, Elohim. Jehovah is God. Every time they called Joel, they were saying, the one who recognizes Jehovah is God, come here. The one who serves Jehovah is God, you come here. They were calling his name in that way. And so these men were given a great start by a good name. And so here is Josiah destroying the altars of Baal because he's thinking to himself, that's the meaning of my name. God is going to sustain me. I have to honor Jehovah. These altars of Baal have to come down. Do you know there are names that are used in our day that have the worship of Baal in those names? There are names, it's incredible the usage of names in our day. But the name declared the person. It was looked upon in the Bible as one and the same. It was not the person over here and the name over here, but it was one and the same. Here's Jesus, he's the Savior. It's one and the same. Here's Samson, he is to serve faithfully like the Son. It is one and the same. Here is Israel, the Prince of God. He is one and the same. Here is Joel, he is Jehovah is God. He is one and the same. Here is Paul, the little one that is humble before God. His name declared his life. So intimately does the Bible connect names with people that on several occasions, when a profound change took place in a person's life, a different name was given at the same time. Abram had his name changed to Abraham. Abram, exalted father, became Abraham, the father of many. Jacob, the heel snatcher and the supplanter, had to admit to the angel what his name meant. And then They said, the angel said, your name will be Israel, the Prince of God, the power of the right name. An incredible power. Simon became Peter. Simon was the one who hears. And that wasn't a bad name, but Peter was the one who was a rock. Now, Peter was anything but a rock, but Jesus said, that's what you got to be. Every time we call you, listen, when you call somebody the name Peter, here's what you should think. Every time I call him Rock. Come here, Rock. Hello, Big Rock. Come here, Little Rock. Peter means rock. Saul became Paul. Saul was the one who was longed for, the one who was desired. It became Paul, the little one. So the name defines the person, and the person, hear me, tends to become. It's amazing to me how I'm noticing this now. And I've never seen this before, but I'm noticing over and over that people tend to become often what their name is. Now that's why some people prefer nicknames. And that's why some people hate nicknames. If you're a basketball player, you might like being called Rubber Legs. But if you're a girl who has a problem being graceful, you might not care for that term at all. Amen? That's also why parents ought to be very careful and very particular about naming their children. If your last name is Weird, now that sounds funny, but there are people with that last name, W-E-I-R-D. Don't name your boy Robert Upton, because his initials will be, Are You Weird? By the way, give your boys a distinctively boys' name and give your girls a distinctively girls' name, if at all possible. I had something here I was going to read you in relation to that. Did you know there are, here it is, there were 8 examples in the Bible of women who had men's names. These 8 names are distinctively men's names. They were primarily given to men, but they were also given to women. Abihail, Anah, Ephah, Hodijah, Husham, Mala, Micaiah, and Nahash. So, anyway, that's free. The name tends to define the person or a thing. That's the reason a man will name a fishing boat the Lucky Lady. I have a preacher friend in Florida, Gary Byram's his name. I'll just tell on him right here in front of everybody. I'll be preaching for him in February. And he has a fishing boat. Do you know what his fishing boat is named? This is true. His fishing boat is named Visitation. So that when he goes fishing, they call the church and they say, where's the preacher? Secretary can say, well, he's out on visitation. It's true. A name tends to define a person or a thing. A boy will name his dog Lassie. Or if he's got a big, black, mean dog, he might name him Lucifer. Did it ever occur to you that in all the Bible there's not really one name given to God the Father? Moses said early in the book of Exodus, who will I say to the children of Israel? And who will I say to Pharaoh, sent me? And God said, tell them, I am that I am. And he got all flustered and he said, what do you mean? The Hebrew word for Jehovah simply means He is. He is the existent one. In a sense, it does define Him because He is the only one who always has been, is now, and always will be. He has been, He is, He always will be. That's really the meaning of Jehovah. Jesus simply referred to God as the Father. But Jesus came, and since a name defines the person, what will His name be? That choice was not left to Joseph and Mary. The angel came and said specifically, you are to call His name Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior, the one who saves. While Jesus was on this earth, every time they called His name, they were calling, Savior, come here. That Savior, He is the one who healed that person. That man who saved. I mean, there are people in our day who say, well, we're tired of hearing this business. Jesus saves. I want to tell you, you can't get away from it. You just call His name. You're calling the one who saves. And yet I remind you that Jesus was more than a mere man. He was God in the flesh. It was God in the manger. It was God in the temple at 12. It was God on the mountainside feeding the people. I love this. It was God on the boat. It was God on the cross. As a man, He could be called Jesus, declaring His purpose. But as God, no single name could fully describe His existence. And that is the reason the writer of the Song of Solomon said, "Thy name is like ointment poured forth." And you search through the Bible, someone has come up with over 200 names of Jesus throughout the Bible. Why? Because His life fulfills such a wide purpose, it was impossible to encompass Him in just the one name. He is called Governor, Redeemer, Messiah, Lion of Judah, Second Adam, King of Zion, King of the Jews, King of the Saints, Righteous Judge, Captain of our Salvation, Captain of the Lord's Host, Master, Lord, Rock of Ages, I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the One Altogether Lovely, the Bright and Morning Star, the Word of God, the Lamb of God, the Alpha and Omega, the Ancient of Days, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, the Son of God, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Glory to God, we could go on and on. That's Jesus. Why? Because the name, it takes all those names to define Him, and yet none of those names still give His full meaning. So we need to understand why we name. Because it's exercise of authority. Secondly, we need to understand the power of the right or the wrong name. Some people don't realize the impact that they have. Here's an article out of the Springfield State Journal Register from May the 16th of 1993. This lady writes about names. She says that the title of it is, "There's more to the name game than you might think." I tell parents, look, we live in a very tough, stressful world where there are a lot of obstacles. Why burden your child with another obstacle? If you want others to view your daughter as ambitious, intelligent, and creative, then name her Jacqueline, not Olive, the book advises. If you want them to consider your son handsome and healthy, call him James, not Elmer. If Moravian is right, then what were Illinois parents thinking when they named their boys Jink, She, Sir Frederick, Al Pacino, and named their girls Pepsi, Tequila, Pizzazz, and Unique? Isn't that interesting? According to State Department of Public Health records, in recent years, Illinois residents have named their children after everything from cars, kids named Toyota, kids named Porsche, to cities, kids named Brooklyn and Portland, to talk show hosts, Geraldo, Arsenio, and Oprah. There are boys with girls' names and girls with boys' names, Tom and Stevie, and so on. Parents who select unusual names often are hoping their child will become a unique, special individual, this person says. She warns parents that the more different the name, the bigger the demand on a child. A boy named Michael is never going to have his name questioned. A boy named Wolfgang will have his name questioned. Her father had a distant relative named Encyclopedia Britannica Dewey. Over the years, this person they're referring to, her name has created some confusion. In college, the school assigned her to an all-boys gym class. In high school, the United States Marines sent her recruiting letters. She says, "I can still remember the first sentence. We need men like you." Now, I'm saying that there is an incredible power to a right or a wrong name. A study has found that teachers grading a series of student-written compositions gave higher marks to authors with attractive names, Lisa, Karen, Michael, or David, than those with unattractive names, Bertha, Hubert, and Elmer. I'll read you the rest of that later. Now, third, understand how to name a child. Now, how do you name a child? And I really got ahead of myself here. And that is, the first thought is, do not name a child simply based on uniqueness. If so, you might name your child Chevrolet, or Toyota, or Ford, or Mercedes-Benz. Or you might name your child who knows what else. Here's some more. Lady says, "I work for an insurance carrier processing checks and coupons. Maybe you'd like to add these names to your collection of unusual names. Sunset Bay. Clay Potter. I'm a pain. Olive pit. Town hall. Virginia reel. Tester couch. Kissily fish. Here's some more. Formica dinette. Sisters, I'm a and you're a sap. It's true. My wife has an uncle whose name was Valley Ditch. I talked to a fella in the hospital I was visiting one day. His name, Captain Lee. First name was Captain. He had brothers with the name Sergeant and Lieutenant. Captain, Sergeant, and Lieutenant. There's a boy named Tonsillitis Jones. He had trouble. This is true. I've been collecting this for years, folks. He had trouble enlisting in the Navy because they wouldn't believe it was his name. They wouldn't believe his name was Tonsillitis. Let me tell you what it was worth. This is true. Y'all don't believe me, do you? He had three brothers. Their names were meningitis, appendicitis, and peritonitis. I'm saying, don't just name your child according to some unique idea of some sort. Somebody told me right before the service tonight, I assume it's true, I'm quoting what they told me, that Frank Zappa, the rock singer, has named his kids Dweezil and Moon Unit. Shows you his thinking, I think. But anyway, so don't name a child simply because you say, "Boy, this is a unique name." All right? Second thought under this. The first couple of thoughts here are things not to do. Don't. Oh, Christians, I'd love to warn every Christian in the world here. Do not ever name a child after a figure in the world. Don't ever name a child after an actor or an actress. And if you already have, I'm not being critical. I'm just teaching for the future. In fact, I'm being honest again and saying to you, what I'm telling you tonight, I didn't know. I'm about to get to the key thought here, and I didn't know myself this until just a few weeks ago. Don't name a child after the world. Don't pick a name associated distinctly with the world, like Elvis. Choose a name with a Christian meaning so that you can show God's ownership and authority over a child. Now, can a child overcome a bad name? Certainly. That doesn't mean it's something that he can't ever overcome. But you give a child a jump start in life if you give him the right name. So, how do you name a child? I don't know that anybody but a spiritual parent can properly name a child with what I'm fixing to tell you. If you don't have a walk with God, I don't know that you'll even come up with the right name for a child. I think it is possible to correct that situation, but I'm just being honest with you. In prayer and in a close walk with God, a father and a mother need to sense God's purpose for their unborn baby's life and choose not the name first but the meaning first and then the name that matches the meaning. Do you see that in the Bible? You see, Jesus was not chosen because somebody liked the sound of the name Jesus. He was chosen because the meaning of His name was Savior. Samson was chosen because his name meant serving like the sun. His name meant the one who will be faithful. Now, he didn't fulfill the meaning of his name, but that's his own fault. It wasn't his parents' fault. He had the jump start by having the right name in life. Could I be honest with you and carefully, tactfully tell you how I discovered this. I preached Sunday morning on the subject, why. Maybe this is one of the reasons that, from a positive viewpoint, that Rick and Susie lost their baby. This is how God taught me. He called me up, I guess it was on Wednesday, the funeral I think was on Thursday. Pastor, baby's a little boy and we're trying to find proper name to give him. Just a few months along in the womb and miscarried. And most of us here know, of course, what happened and how we rallied around them and tried to love Rick and Susie and the family and support them just in the last few weeks as they lost this little unborn baby. And then he said this to me. It still didn't register. He said, Pastor, we were wondering, could you give us a name? You've been studying names and all these meanings. Could you give us a name that has a meaning that will declare a purpose for this child's life? Okay. And I was honest with him. I said, Rick, I want to thank you for calling me. You don't believe this, but I was honestly already praying that you would do that. God had impressed my heart that very morning, and I had prayed, God, I think I could help them find a name. And I didn't just pick out one. I've got a whole list. Here's the whole list of names that I picked out. So here's what I did. I sat down with my name book. I've got four books of names back in my office and their meanings. And even then, lots of times I have to really dig down into the Greek and Hebrew to discover. I even invented a name here. I was just trying to give them all the options they could have. I don't think anybody would ever use the name that... But honestly, I don't know that it's a bad name. But anyway. He said, well, the rest of our boys have the name Lee for a middle name. Andrew Lee, Daniel Lee, Stephen Lee, so on. Joshua Lee. And so he said, we'll give him the name Lee for the middle name. Can you tell us what first name? Well, the first thing I wanted to know was the meaning of Lee. So I looked up Lee, and it meant gracious spirit. So then I began to look. And I found right away the name Anthony. They almost named their baby Anthony. Anthony means graceful or valuable. The meaning of that name then could have been, with both those names together, the one whose gracious spirit made him valuable to God. The name Garvin means friend. That could have been, incidentally, it took me quite a while to do this. I'll give it to you in just a few seconds, but it took a while. The one whose gracious spirit made him a special friend of God. The name Joses, J-O-S-E-S. You see the J-O, Jehovah, the Lord. Helped by the Lord. His name could have meant the one whose gracious spirit caused him to be helped by the Lord. Lawrence, or Larry, would be the one who is crowned with honor. The one whose gracious spirit caused him to be crowned with honor. Lambert meant innocence. So it could have been the one whose gracious spirit caused him to... I'm not sure how you would use that. You could have tied it in some way. Lemuel, consecrated to God. Myron means myrrh or a sweet odor. I'll give you the others here and then I'll give you last the one they chose. Thaddeus means praise. The one whose gracious spirit caused him to praise God. Titus meant safe or saved. Tobias meant goodness of God. The name I made up was Kamesh. This would have been their fifth baby to lose, and Kamesh is the Hebrew word for the fifth one, or number five. They chose Nathan or Nathaniel, which was gift of God. The meaning then... See, the meaning came first, then the name came from it. The one whose gracious spirit made him a very special gift from God. Nathaniel Lee Ball, and that's the name that they gave to their little deceased unborn baby. Now here's what happened. As I started doing this, I was going down through there. I'd never done this before. And God spoke to my heart and said, Son, do you realize this is the way baby's supposed to be named all along? This is it. A parent senses God's purpose for the child's life. That's what Samson's parents did with Samson. And they named him accordingly. That's what was done when the angel named Jesus. Parents sense a purpose for a child's life and they give a child a meaning. Did you know that's what we do when we choose these character meanings that we give the children here all the time? The children, adults, whoever it might be. Last Sunday night, Stephanie Marie, crowned and spiritually aware. We gave it the meaning, the one whose spiritual sensitivity causes her to be respected by others and rewarded by God. Now, when we came up with that meaning, we came up with three or four meanings before we came up with that meaning. And I was talking on the phone to her mother, which I don't always get to know, but I was talking on the phone to her mother, and we together chose that, and we were actually looking at Stephanie's life. We were both sitting there thinking about Stephanie's life. When James and Julie had their baby Laura recently, and they had already checked with me about the meaning of her name. And then that Sunday morning, right before they introduced her to the church, they came back in my office and we were talking about her name and the meaning of her name. And we were trying, you remember how I struggled for about 30 minutes back there? The meaning of this has to be just right. Why? It's a meaning she's going to live with for the rest of her life. The name that we gave out tonight, Glenn Clinton Gill. Now, Glenn and Clinton, if you study it, Glenn is, I wish I'd have brought out all my research on that name. There's 2 to 3 hours of research on that one name. The name Glenn, I gave it the meaning excellent worth. I actually had to extrapolate to come with that meaning. One of his names, I won't go into all that. I don't have the details out here to do it. Clint, maybe I do. Maybe I have it. Yes, I do. Here it is. One of these names is Anglo-Saxon. The other one, if I remember right, is Greek. The name Glen literally means from the valley or the dweller in the glen, and we extrapolate from that to get the meaning of the one of excellent worth. It's a beautiful place that had great worth. The name Clinton literally means from the headland farm or the headland estate, and it refers to a jut of land coming out along a coastal shore. That's the literal meaning of the name Clinton, and that, I believe, was Anglo-Saxon in its origin. And we gave that the meaning of the simple yet outstanding one. So, then we extrapolated from that, the ordinary one whose profound servant leadership makes him of great value to God. And we chose the passage, Matthew 23:10-11, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And we've done that over and over the last few weeks. Philip Matthew, the lover of horses. Matthew, the God's gift, the lover of horses and the lover of the race. What else do we have here? Tisha Marie, lots of time. I spent probably 2 hours studying Hebrew words, trying to find the meaning of the name Tisha, and then the meaning of the name Marie. And then we gave it the meaning, the spiritually aware one who amazes others with her ability to care for their spiritual and physical health. And then the verse from 1 John, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. What other name here? Macy Lee. Macy, highest star. Lee, the meta, or the sheltered one. The one who walks in heavenly places with Jesus shelters others from spiritual danger. Ephesians 1:3-2:6. And let me see, we had... Oh, here's Laura Elizabeth. Here it is. Laura Elizabeth. Laura, the crown or the emblem of honor. Elizabeth, oath of God. The one who trusts God's perfect promise that lifelong faithfulness brings eternal rewards. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. And so the name needs to define the person, and so the parents need to sense in their heart what the meaning of the name. Now, we see this even in Adam. Adam meant earth. What was his purpose? His purpose as the first man was to have dominion over the earth. Every time his name was called for his entire life. If I were naming a child Adam, then I would want to think, this young man is meant by God to have some type of spiritual leadership, spiritual authority, spiritual dominion. He needs to exercise it. And I would choose the name Adam based upon that feeling and that sensitivity. Now, so number one, understand why we name. Number two, understand the power of the right or the wrong name. Number three, understand how to name a child. Number four, let me pause here. I left something out a minute ago. I was talking about don't name a child according to a movie star or something like that. Listen to this. A lady that works in the nursery at Memorial Medical Center for 18 years, she says Springfield parents frequently take their babies' names from television characters. She says when there's someone hot on the soap operas, we get a lot of babies with that name. Do you know what people are doing to their child? They're naming their child according to the character of the soap opera actor. That's what they're doing. Current favorites include Dylan and Brandon, characters from the hit primetime series Beverly Hills 90210. I don't know much about that, but I don't think it's godliness. Connor also is trendy for boys, she says. Rock star Eric Clapton won a Grammy this year for Tears in Heaven, the widely popular ballad he wrote following the accidental death of his 4-year-old son Connor, and Lee sees a connection between the names and the song's popularity. It seems like the time frames are really coincidental. She goes in further than that. I won't take time to do it. Now, what do you do with a child's name once they have that name? You remind them of it continually. Those Greek and Hebrew words in your Bible were automatically reminders because as the people call the name, as they call the name Jesus, they were thinking, Jesus is Savior. I mean, it wasn't that the name is over here and the meaning's over here. As they call the name, they thought the meaning immediately. Our children, as we call their names, need to learn immediately to associate their name with the meaning of their name and the purpose in life, and let that purpose in life help guide them through life. When they name not only people, they name places. Bethel was named House of God. Ebenezer was place of the Lord's help. Judea is land of praise. Jerusalem means double peace. Jerusalem's not had a lot of peace over the years. One of these days, the Prince of Peace is going to reign in Jerusalem. And it will be double peace like the world has never seen before. Jerusalem, Salem, Shalom, peace. You've heard that. Every time it's named, understand to continually. I got curious a few weeks ago. I've been doing all these names for people. I got to wondering about mine. I don't know whether I dare tell you or not, do I? I found out my first name, and these are fairly definite. My first name means excellent vision. My second name means warrior, fighter, defender. And I put them together and it came just like that. And I keep looking, ever since I discovered this, I keep looking back on it. Preaching, I hadn't told you this, have I? The meaning of my name is the one who battles to accomplish his God-given vision. That's the meaning of my name. And ever since I discovered that, my name has meant more to me than it ever has before. And I realized my parents were really wise to give me the name they gave me. When our daughters had their children, they named them Joshua Mark. Joshua means same as Jesus, Savior, or the one who spreads God's truth. Mark means warrior or defender. Recently, I shared with you the little song that we had written to go with Joshua's name. This is a song we're singing to him all the time now that he can grow up with, knowing his name, knowing the purpose of his life. Are y'all following me here? We chose the tune to Old MacDonald Had a Farm. Joshua Mark Williams spreads God's truth. Praise, oh praise the Lord. He's not ashamed even in His youth. Praise, oh praise the Lord. With a big smile here and a little track there. Here a smile, there a track, never giving any slack. Joshua Mark Williams spreads God's truth. Praise, oh praise the Lord. He'll grow up thinking, my job is to spread and defend God's truth. Joshua Mark Williams defends God's Word, not ashamed to stand alone. That's a key thought for anybody. Not ashamed to stand alone. He's swift and sure with His trusty sword, not ashamed to stand alone. With a deep thought here and a clear thought there, concentrate, meditate, anything but aggravate. Joshua Mark Williams defends God's Word, not ashamed to stand alone. Then we've done one for Judah, my other grandson, Dwayne and Andrew's little boy. Judah means praise. Mark means defender. And or warrior, the one who praises and defends God's truth. He smiles a lot. He's a real happy little boy. And so this is I'll just sing it for him. The little boy with a big. Wait a minute. Oh, I got stuck on old MacDonald. Help me, Andrew. Okay. Judah. Here we go. The little boy with a big, big smile. Judah, Judah. It stretches down a country mile. Oh, Judah, how? Gonna smile all night. Gonna smile all day. The little boy with a big, big smile. Oh, Judah, how? The light of God is in his eyes. Judah, Judah. He praises God. It makes him wise. Oh, Judah, how? Gonna praise all night. Gonna praise all day. The light of God is in his eyes. Oh, Judah, how? He praises God, defends God's truth. Judah, Judah, he stands for God throughout his youth. Oh, Judah, how? Gonna stand for God and defend his truth. Gonna stand throughout his youth. Oh, Judah, how? And he's got something to hold on to for his whole life. In fact, I never thought about the song until just a few weeks ago. We were sitting at home and we were just cutting up and we started making up songs. And it just turned into a fun little thing to do. But for the whole year that these little boys have been around, we keep calling them by their name and then we give the meaning of their name because they need to know that there is a purpose for their life and the name needs to define and declare the purpose for a person's life. What do you do with that name? Continually remind them, this is your name. This is the meaning. This is the purpose for which you have born. You've been named that you need to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Would you bow with me, please?